We'll be listening to a conversation recorded with Jesse Winchester at his home in Montreal. Along with that, we'll be hearing some of Jesse's music. Jesse began by relating to us his experiences.
Before I came, I looked up in the encyclopedia, you know, Canada, 10 provinces, you know, 2 territories. The largest city is Montreal, which is the largest French-speaking city other than Paris in the world. And my great-grandparents came from Ontario. And I'd heard my grandmother talk about it, and I knew it was kind of a rural place, but I had the impression that it was a very cultured place, and I was right, a very civilized place, more than by civilized, I mean the people are civilized, civil. I'd been playing music, and when I told the guy at the border that I was a musician, he just laughed, you know. That's the usual reaction you get from bureaucrats when you tell people you're a musician. So I decided that I should try and get a straight job just to, you know, show people that I was serious. But I couldn't get a straight job because I kept telling people that I was up here because of the army, for some reason. I just felt I owed them the truth, you know, and every time I told them that, they'd say, well, you know, you can't blame them. I mean, they have a certain attitude, that's all there is to it. They figure that if you're gonna let one country down, you know, you're gonna let this country down. So I finally got a job playing with a French bar band. And it was very, you know, steady money. It was good money. It was $100 a week. And it was a pretty depressing job, though, because of the language barrier. I couldn't express myself very well. And it kind of, when you have to keep your feelings bottled up that much, it begins to get you down. So I had to quit that job after a while. Anyway, the manager wanted us to put on red leotards and, oh, man, dress up like astronauts. Wear, you know, silver football helmets and stuff with antennae coming off the top. So I decided it was time to quit.
How did it feel like? You were playing in a lot of outlying areas, right, in Quebec? And how did that feel compared to playing around, you know, coming from the south and the kind of people that you came into contact with?
They were a lot the same, country people. You know, when they want to go have a good time, they go to the hotel lounge and get drunk and dance and try and pick up chicks. So exactly the same thing, only they speak French. But I get along very well with bar people. Performing just gets me down sometimes. It really gets me down. I think it's very easy for me to fall into a snobbish kind of an attitude. And, you know, when you call on to play the same song night after night after night, and it just becomes, you know, unless you can muster up the same feeling that made you write the song night after night after night, it becomes just a chore. And either that or you have to act. You have to be a good actor, you know? And I'm a terrible actor. I don't like to feel like I'm putting people on. I'd rather be able to sing a song that's in my head at that time, you know? And a lot of times people just don't want to know.
Well, that's the thing. Most artists probably complain about that, just that aspect of being musicians the most, is that once you do a certain record or a certain song, then people, that's what people identify with, and that's what they expect from you.
Trapped, I'm trapped in one of your photographs, or whatever. Trapped,
whatever you wrote.
Yeah, right. You know, and people take the photograph to be you, you know. how come you don't look like that anymore? Mm-hmm. Hell with you, you know? You're not Jesse Winchester. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, to use another analogy, it's like it's the old story of the kid taking the thorn out of his foot. Guy watching the kid take a thorn out of his foot. I don't know whether you heard that. And there was a man watching him, and he comes up to the kid after he's done it, and he says, "Boy, the way you took that thorn out of your foot, that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It just knocked me right out, you know. He said, do it again." So the kid tries to do it again, you know, and he can't do it. Like, you can't have a conscious technique for achieving whatever the word is, unity or
one.
Yeah.
And that seems to be in music or any process that you take. I mean, for you, it's music. That will happen to you through music. But there's a lot of stuff that goes on before that happens. I mean, so talking about just going through, like you may play and it may not be happening.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Persevering, you just keep doing it until it happens, yeah.
Now, how do you work with it when you're feeling down and you're playing?
Well, yeah, that's a conscious technique. Is perseverance is a conscious technique. If you're feeling down and it's not happening, you can intellectually tell yourself to keep doing it, no matter what, and it will happen. If the wheel is... Perseverance is the only conscious technique, I think, that works.
How have you felt about it as through the years, though? I mean, how has that worked for you? I mean, from early when you were playing and now, where your music's going out to a lot more people now. Has it, you've gone through a lot of changes, obviously. How has this worked in reference to the changes that you've gone through in terms of perseverance?
Well, music has taken me to a lot of places. And, like we said, it's been so much more than just music, just sound to me. I mean, it's been a business life. I've learned, I've started to learn the ways of the business world because of music, because I kept after music, and I signed a recording contract, and it took me into that part of life. It's got me traveling. It's got me meeting people I never would have met. It's got me, if I get a bad review, it's sent me way down. If I get a good review, it's sent me way up. I mean, it's just batted my emotions around like a tennis ball. And that's how you learn in life, I guess. It's just getting put through the ringer like that. And if I hadn't had something to follow, like music, I would never have... I think I would have been tempted to run away from a lot of experiences. Like the business world, I have no interest really in business, but I just I had to. I didn't have any choice really, because that's where my pursuit of music took me.
The other aspect of just keeping at it is when you're writing, how do you write a song?
Yeah, same thing. I just sit down and start playing. If I'm going to write it that way, if I'm going to write it out an instrument, I'll sit down and start playing, and I'll play anything, just usually other people's songs, and start and do that for an hour until I get into a thing that sounds good, get a little riff and just play with it. Take it different places. Another good way to write songs is just walking down the street or just without an instrument. It's maybe even a better way to write is without an instrument. Just have it in your head, you know, like all day long, and write a tune that way.
It's like the Eastern, some of the Eastern philosophies using sound over and over, use meditation, and they go out from there.
Yeah.
By using that sound.
Right.
How do you feel about, I mean, it's happening a lot these days. Many people going to the East, or many teachers from the East coming over here, teaching people various philosophies, forms of meditation, etc. And their whole lives become very much in reference to a specific teaching, like, let's say, Zen, for instance. You know, and all the symbols, etc., for your life now have this form. How do you feel about that as to Western forms in your own life?
In my own life, well, I've studied, you know, the Eastern things, but recently, in the last couple of years anyway, I came to think that my father's way was probably the best way for me, like the, you know, the Judeo-Christian thing. But I, at least in terms of a vocabulary and a system of symbols, symbology, I would just as soon use the Judeo-Christian thing, because in North America, you can make yourself better understood to more people.
Well, for you, it seems, especially on this new record that you've got, that's really come out. I mean, for you, the symbol, etc., of Judeo-Christian, your feelings come out in the lyrics that I've noticed, especially on this record. I suppose very unconsciously.
Yeah. You know that song North Star? Like, does the world have a belly button?
Yeah.
I can't, you know. Like, that's like Buddhism, almost, I thought. I can't write songs to order, you know. Like, some guys I know, they'll hear a phrase, you know, and say, hey, that'd make a great song, you know, and they'll go write a song around that phrase. But I find that impossible.
You've started to apply, the way it feels to me is like, if you can, Gurdjieff said, if you can pour a cup of tea right, you can do anything.
Yeah.
And it seems like you've started to apply this talent, which has been in music, to other things now. One of them, photography. How did you get into that?
Well, I started taking pictures because I wanted to have pictures up for my son, you know, when he was born and so forth, and while he was growing up. Because I, you know, everybody likes looking through the old family album every now and then, and, you know, seeing pictures. And, yeah, sure, you know, photography, anything you do, you have to do as well as possible.
Did you notice that when you, you know, got into the process of, when you have a dark room, etc., when you got into the process of it, did you get any of the same feelings that you did, you know, do sometimes get in the...
Oh, yeah, when you're getting good pictures, it's the same as a good song, sure.
One thing, I mean, personally, your situation has changed quite a lot in the 5 or so years you've been here, and you have a family and everything.
Yeah.
How do you find that's changed your songs, let's say?
Well, the family is a good place to retreat to. To rebuild your energies. Maybe it is that center point, the family, for a man, I don't know. My music has become much more, since I've been married and had a child, my music has become simpler and more relaxed. He realizes a amount of self-analysis, and I don't know how much it's worth, but I think it's a refining itself to maybe one chord, you know what I mean, just down to very two or three chords and
very basic,
yeah.
Actually, a child, I think, would do that more than anything else, just because of being with young, especially babies, but they're so innocent.
Yeah, and you're supposed to be teaching them, but they're teaching you, you know.
What are some of the things in relationship to a child that doesn't have ego, or is very early in the early stages of developing ego? How are you working with that process?
Well, he's got an ego. He may not know it yet or know what to call it yet, but he's definitely, he has to have one just to get fed, you know. He can,
yeah, very basic survival.
Yeah, he can really, when he wants something, he just screams, you know. He's not subtle about anything. And, that's honesty. And,
it's also innocence. Because when he's hungry, he doesn't kind of say, gee, maybe it's time to eat.
Right.
He screams at you,
right.
Let me eat.
Yeah, right, right. No, no doubts, yeah.
Or when he wants to show affection, he doesn't, he doesn't hide it or in any way manipulate it.
Right.
It's just a very pure thing.
And if he were to sing a song, like, it would just be, I'm hungry, just no poetic, subtleties or references to Ulysses or anything, you know, just a real true song about his real true feelings.
Yeah, totally gut.
Yeah. Like the, I was reading about the Eskimos, and they do that too when they sing. They just walk around and make up little songs all the time about what they're thinking, or little prayer songs, all this kind of thing, you know. Wow. That's really nice, you know. And not to, make any big thing about it. It's just, everybody can make up songs, and everybody does.